You're listening to Run, R-U-N, Revive Us Now podcast with Steve Gray. As pastor of the Smithton Outpouring and the Kansas City Revival, Steve is a leading voice of revival worldwide. Steve shares his life-changing encounters with God, along with biblical teaching that equips you to experience and lead lasting revival. Come, run with Steve and expect God to revive us now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Revive Us Now podcast. I am your host, Steve Gray, and so glad that you're with us because we are going to talk about what do you do if you find out your life is in trouble. You're in trouble before God, or you're in trouble before your boss, or you're in trouble in your marriage. What do you do if you're, especially if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus, and even though I'm going to talk to you about what you should do, you're going to think and look around and realize most people do nothing, and that's what we're going to talk about today. What do you do if your life is in trouble? Next to me is J.D. King. He's author and preacher, author, and pastor at World Revival Church. And he's got a couple of books with him. We talked about on the other podcast, particularly this one. He sent his word and healed them. And you can go to SteveGrayPodcast.com, and there'll be a link.
Is Revive Us Now podcast.
Oh, Revive Us Now. Yeah, yep. I have too many dot coms.
So many
is what
things
I have.
Going on.
They were telling me about another one I've had for 20 years, and I've never been there because it's just sitting there. It's just sitting there with nothing. But anyway, what is it again?
Revive Us Now podcast.
Yeah, Revive Us Now podcast. That's the one that goes here, and there'll be a link.
The Resurgence Store is JD's link too.
Yeah, so and you can get those. There's a lot more books to go to there. So we're going to talk today, if your life's in trouble, we're going to go to Luke chapter 16. Of course, I love the book of Luke. I teach so many times over the years around the world. And we're going to go to a parable. It's right in that same area of the lost sheep and the lost, son and all that kind of stuff. So here we have two translations. This is NIV, and this is what's becoming very popular in our church, the Passion Translation of the Bible. And so when you go to the Passion Translation of the Bible, we're going to see this, and he put the dishonest manager at the top, dishonest manager. The NIV puts the parable of the shrewd manager. Okay, so there's both of them. It's a great one. Now, if you've been going to church a lot of your life, I'm sure you heard the parable of the lost sheep, lost coin, and certainly you heard the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son.
Right.
You know that. It's been an evangelism and all that. But what about this one, the parable of the shrewd manager or dishonest manager, which we'll talk about? So I'll head on over to Zion. Oh, I didn't even say you were here yet, did I?
I'm here.
Only JD and I are here. But yeah, this is Zion Vieira. He's here with us. Yep. What about that? Whenever you came across that, and you grew up in church.
Right, yeah.
Did you ever get this explained to you? I know since you've been here, you have. But
right.
Tell
Growing
me about
up,
it.
No, I never heard of that. Of course, you mentioned the prodigal son, and you heard that hundreds of thousands of times.
Yeah.
You know, especially in youth group, you hear that. You know, but no, I never really heard a lot of teachings. I can't recall hearing a single teaching on Luke 16.
I guess you could speculate why.
Yeah.
Because
you read and you're like, what is Jesus? Why is he promoting a dishonest man?
Yeah.
You know, when I read it personally before coming here and taking the theology of Luke class, I was like, this is kind of strange.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this doesn't seem like Jesus to promote this. So what's actually going on here?
Yep.
Was the question that I had.
And I think it's cool too, in the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son, everybody, that's the one they preach.
Sure.
And the very first line in that parable says, there was a man who had two sons, and the second one never gets a headline. He's never in the story, and you keep reading. It's the same way with this parable in Luke 16.
Right.
So JD, what do you think? I mean, here, we all three, we really like the Passion because it's a very passionate writing of the Bible. However, I would trip over if I didn't know this, if I thought it says here the dishonest manager and then we know later the boss commends him, and I would walk away thinking the boss is going to command his dishonesty.
Yeah.
Got any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, obviously those are always interpretive lines. I mean, every time we read a Bible, usually any headlines are from the translators or so, they're never necessarily reflecting the actual message of this text. And I mean, I do think it's fascinating. You know, is it a shrewd manager? Is it a dishonest manager? I don't know. Shrewd seems more interesting. I mean, if they're dishonest, why would we want to learn from them?
Sure.
I mean,
right.
But a shrewd one, okay, a shrewd person has some you know, some innovation, has some insight. Maybe they don't always have the best motives, but they're trying to find a way to make something work. And obviously, we're going to find out that Jesus commends him for something. And
yeah,
and so, you know, I think that that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, let's just walk. I'll put this one over since we're not going to use dishonest today. We're gonna go with the shrewd because I think it fits so much better. So here's what happened. So this rich man put a manager over all these things,
sure.
and it comes around, and the manager is found wasting his possessions, is what this says, and that's pretty good. He's not really being dishonest. I don't think he's just wasteful.
Right.
He's not a good manager,
good steward,
or he's
right.
lazy.
Yeah.
Wasteful and lazy, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's, to me, that's not really being dishonest. That's just being wasteful and lazy.
Sure.
He's not a good manager. Maybe taking advantage of his boss or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And somehow then the boss manager finds out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he finds out about it, then so does the worker. The manager finds out about it too and says, I'm in trouble. And he has to go into the manager, the worker, who's taking care of things and not doing a good job. He has to go in and make an account to the manager of this. And he says, give an account of your management. What's this I hear? I like that line. What do I hear about you? I'm hearing stuff about you. And now you've messed up. You've handled things wrong. And so you can't be the manager anymore.
Right.
Okay, so that's basically it.
Mm-hmm.
You could teach the whole thing on that, apply it to what was happening in Jesus' day, and you could apply it to what's happening in our day. Because
mm-hmm.
that's kind of how I feel, without being critical, I feel like there's a lot of poor management happening
right, sure.
in the church today.
Correct.
By sincere people, who doesn't say that this guy doesn't love people.
Right.
Or something like that. It's that it's just poor management to mm-hmm. understand. We have this whole book given to us by God to help guide our lives, and it's very seldom being preached by some great preachers.
Yeah,
they're good preachers. They really can lay out a good lesson.
Right.
But just like we talked about on the other podcast, it turns out it's not even about Jesus. And it's not directed towards the first audience, which were
right.
the Jews, and then we apply it to our church after that. So it's more self-centered yeah. principles, building up yourself, lowest,
right.
talking about low self-esteem,
yep.
trying to build that up, and not getting to the core of what this is really about. So the first thing we want to do is understand the context of it. And the context of it is Jesus is giving a clue that the religion, and so are we in our day, mm-hmm. that the religious leaders mm-hmm. of his day were being wasteful.
Right.
They weren't
yeah.
managing the synagogue or managing the temple or managing the Judaism,
yeah.
even though they were the managers. They mm-hmm. were the Pharisees, right. the Sadducees, the rabbis, and all the people. They weren't managing what they'd been given well.
Right.
Well, what does God do or what does Jesus do? What is the thing? Well,
Call him to account. I mean,
yeah, he's going to call him to account, and probably what's going to happen? They're going to be
fired.
Yeah, they're going to be out of a job.
Yep.
In fact, there's a good parable on that, isn't it? The owner of a vineyard comes, mm-hmm. and at the end of it says, "I'm going to take the vineyard away from you,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to give it to somebody else
right.
that will produce fruit."
Yeah.
So the problem in their religion of that day was poor managers. They weren't producing fruit, or
right.
they weren't handling things right.
Right.
And that's the problem we have today. We've got a lot of preachers that are trying to help other people. I think they're sincerely trying to help them,
sure.
but they're part of the problem because nobody gets in. Nobody gets better.
Right.
You know, if you're telling them just hang on another week,
yeah.
and they come back next week, they hung on. They didn't quit going to church.
Sure.
And that's good. I'd rather that than quit, mm-hmm. but they still come back the same person, not changed.
Yeah.
And that would be the lesson, I think, Jesus, what he would transform them, you know, take them up to the mountain of transfiguration,
right. yeah.
you know, and get them changed. But anyway, so anyway, he gets caught and he gets fired. Okay. Now, remember what I talked about when we came into this, we said, what do you do if you're life's in trouble, in your marriage life or your Christian life between you and God, what do you do? So the manager does the same thing that maybe people are doing or listening. He says, what do I do now?
Right,
so
right.
all of a sudden you get in a fight with your wife or husband and then you realize, man, my marriage is a lot worse than I thought it was, which since I'm all with you guys, That happens to a lot of men.
Sure.
Yeah. over a year. What? My marriage is in a lot. I thought my marriage was okay. It's in a lot worse shape. What do I do now? So my master, run the vacuum.
Yeah, exactly.
My master is taking away my job. Right. And then he knows himself. He says, I don't want to dig. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. What am I going to do? And so at that point, some people think he does get dishonest. As we said, the passion gave us dishonest. But I think he's just clever. He knows his man. I don't know what he expected from his master, but from the people. So what did he do? He got people that were who owed money to his master, and he went and he changed the bill. He lowered the amount they owed.
Right.
Now, at that point, like I said, people think he's being dishonest.
Right.
And I don't think so.
Right.
This is what I think. Let's back up for a minute. I hope you guys don't mind me teaching you guys.
Sure. Yeah.
You know a lot. You've heard me teach it, but I'll use you as the studio audience and the congregation. I'll just teach a second to you. But okay, so that's what they think. He was being dishonest. Mm-hmm. But we know in a little bit he's going to be commended, and it's hard to commit dishonesty.
Right. Correct.
Do that. To commend dishonesty, which you've already said. So anyway, he goes and sometimes he cut it in half or he takes some and say, you don't know that much in this. So let's just cut to the chase here. What is he up to?
Sure.
Why is he doing that? Do you guys know the answer?
I think I know. I mean, because he got paid from the portion of what they gave.
Sure.
And so he just basically said, I'm cutting my portion off.
Because a tax collector, we don't realize, tax collectors were not well liked in the Jewish community.
Sure. Yeah.
But the reason being is they collected the tax that you owed,
and then
but they could, yes, they got to set their rates.
Sure.
Excuse me. Yeah. So they would set the rate as high as they could get.
Yeah.
And so they'd go pay Rome, or they'd pay the temple tax or whatever. And then anything they could get off the top, they got to keep for themselves.
Yep.
So tax collectors were pretty wealthy.
Yeah.
And so they were hated because Rome would back them up, whatever they said. So if a tax collector decided, like Zacchaeus, wanted to go back and pay it back everybody, he wasn't paying them back with Rome's money.
He was
paying them back with his own money that he charged and whatever level he did. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think J.D.'s right. He went back and took his profit and crossed it out.
Right.
So he's not cheating the master. And that's why the master's not mad at him for doing it. And it was a pretty smart move. So he went and he crossed it out. He said, I'm going to cross this one out. Now you only owe this amount.
Sure.
But he took his profit and crossed it out, not the master's profit.
Yeah.
And so he gets commended for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so when he did that, how do you think the other people that the master, that they owed money, the people owed money.
Sure.
So you take you and you owe somebody some money.
Yep.
And this guy comes along and says, I want to tell you something. I can cut your bill in half.
You're good. Yep.
Okay. So you like that.
I'd be pretty happy, yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty happy. Your bill's cut in half.
Yep.
How do you feel about that guy who says, I can do this for
you? I'm grateful for him. I'm thankful that he did that. And I guess I'll honor him.
Yeah, you honor him.
You
run home, you tell your wife, this is great. We got a little extra. We got a lot of extra money now.
Right.
And so you like the guy.
Sure.
So he has found, you like the extra money, and he found favor in your sight.
Yep.
All right, so the reason you don't have this taught hardly is because people don't get it. They don't get that part. They think he stole or he was dishonest or whatever. And so then he changed it and he got commended because now he's popular, which he might not have been popular with those people that they owed money to. He's popular now and smart, shrewd, because now the master gets what he was going to get anyway.
Right.
Right.
And the manager, who was a poor manager, doesn't get what he was going to get, but he has set himself up for the future, because now he just goes to those people that really like him, that he canceled their bill, and they're going to hire him.
Sure.
Right.
So he lost his job over here for not managing, but now he's real popular, and he sets himself up for the future, a job for the future. So it says here, the manager commended... I didn't notice it said it. Excuse me. Over here, he's called the shrewd manager, but then the translator said the master commended this dishonest manager. Whoops, I didn't even know it said that. Because he acted shrewdly. well, was he shrewd or dishonest? I don't think he was dishonest because that money was his to do what he wanted to.
Sure.
In their culture, he overcharged, then he undercharged and gave his profit to the other creditors. And now he set himself up for the future.
Right.
All right. And it says right here, for the people, now it's ended. The parable's over. And Jesus said, the people of this world are more shrewd dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light.
Right,
so
right.
He doesn't say this is our kind.
Right.
He just says they're more shrewd than we are.
Right, right.
Because when he knew his life was in trouble, he did something about it.
Action.
Right, yep. Right on.
What's the lesson, what's the lesson to the Jewish leaders or the Jews of that day?
Right.
What do you think it is? What could it be? Their lives are in trouble.
Sure.
Right.
They said for years, if the Messiah shows up, we're going to serve, we're going to give, we're going to do whatever, we're going to believe.
Right.
Jesus the Messiah comes.
Right.
They're not interested. And they're not living, they're wasting their lives on other things as though there is no Messiah.
Right.
Right? That's it.
Yep.
And so how does that then, how do you think that, either one of you, how does that apply now as we're sitting in a church on Sunday watching people and listening to sermons?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's applicable, this thing you've been preaching for years, that when you're in trouble or you're in a crisis, you got to get up and move. You got to run. You got to, respond in some way. I think that's part of what Jesus is getting at here. Whether he was a good man or bad man, he's commended because he actually acted when he got himself into a crisis.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's commendable. I mean, we need to do something now if there is something before us that may threaten us. I mean, we can't just sit back.
So, Zion, if I ask you, can you think of anybody that, you don't have to say their names, anybody that's in a marriage that
JD,
maybe, gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Anybody that's maybe going through tough times in marriage, and we don't want to know who they are, but you just instantly think of somebody.
Okay.
So now you've thought of somebody. Now you can think back and realize what most people do, nothing.
Right.
They're probably not saying, we need to go to counseling, we need to get some help, we need to talk to a pastor, we need to just get down on our knees and pray together.
Sure. Right.
A lot easier just to fight
or
to be angry or whatever. So that's the lesson for us today. It was a lesson then. He is revealing to the religious leaders of his day, this is troublesome.
Mm-hmm.
You love money, you love to be seen, you love to, they made a lot of money, and all these troubling things are going on, and you're going to do nothing. You're just going to keep going.
Right.
And that's part of what we're talking about in the church, too, today. People know their lives are in trouble, and they're hearing a sermon that says, just keep going the way you are.
Wow.
And we want to say, no, be as shrewd as this guy.
Right.
You know something's wrong in relationships to God, to people, your finances, whatever. And be as shrewd as he is. Don't be dishonest, but be as clever as he is. When you realize your life is in trouble, do something about it while there's time. Because there's a lot of stuff the Bible can help you with, friends can help you with, a counselor can help you with. Whatever it is, do something while the tree is green.
Exactly.
Do something while the tree is green, while we're in this great season. Do something so that God can help you become all that you need to become. So we just did a little Bible study today on
great.
A scripture that some people have no idea what it's
good.
About, but we took it apart and put it back together so that you can be ready for revival when the time comes, right? So I had a great time today. Sure. Thanks for listening. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Revive Us Now podcast with Steve Gray. Push the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And spread the word on social media. For more episodes and resources, go to reviveusnowpodcast.com. Until next time, keep on running for revival.